This has been a crazy week for me. I'll share a little bit about it in the sermon, but just our whole family has been sick. Silas is like really sick last night, so I actually feel a bit sick this morning. I kind of feel a little bit weak right now, so I need your prayers this morning, but I feel like God wants to really speak to us. So let's pray together, and let's trust God for him to speak to us all. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, we're excited in moments like this of what you want to do in our lives. And so we just pray your blessing, pray your anointing, your strength upon me to be your vessel and your servant right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're in our series called the Envision Series. Our vision is right here. Can we just read that out loud together? Real quick, this is the vision of our church. We want to see passion and pursuit of God and massive salvations in our church, our city, and our world. And so we have four core values to our church. And if you could help me get to the next slide. The four core values are word convicting, enjoy Jesus every day, spirit empowering, encounter Holy Spirit every day, word life transforming, God first every day, and mission mobilizing, be intentional every day. So for the month of April, we're focusing on the third core value, which is life transforming, God first every day. And so the title of today's sermon is Bearing Fruitful Prayers. Can you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15? We're looking at verses 5 through 8. So if you have your Bibles, it would be helpful to see that passage in context, have it open in front of you. But it will be up on the screen as well, that passage. So Jesus, when he was teaching, always used illustrations to help people to understand what he was sharing about. And so in today's passage, this very famous passage about Jesus being the vine, we're the branches. And so he was using a farming illustration. And that's really helpful to the crowd that he was ministering to because it was a farming economy, agricultural economy. So this helped them to kind of connect in with what he was talking about. He often used farming illustrations. We, in our demographic and here represented in our church, not so much in agricultural economy. So we may not connect as well. And so I'm just going to use an illustration to help us connect because I also don't have a farming background, but I do have a tangerine tree in my backyard. So I'm going to just kind of use that, my one illustration of farming, to kind of help us to connect in. Okay, so the first visual illustration, I'll give you three before we look at the passage just to help us parallel it in the passage. The first illustration is just the tree itself. I couldn't bring that in, but I have a picture of it. Here's my tangerine tree. The branches are connected to the trunk or the vine, and it's bearing fruit. So there's lots of fruit that's on it right now. My second visual illustration is that I broke off one branch last night. Still lots of life in it. Leaves, green. There's even a tangerine on it. All right, so this is a second visual, the one that's just broken off just last night. But I also broke off a branch on Monday in preparation for this. And so it's no leaves, no tangerine, really brittle, and just essentially dead. Right, so this is the third visual. Okay, so when we read today's passage, it's a pretty short passage, verses 5 through 8. But you're going to see all of these visuals in the passage, and pay attention to this these visuals as Jesus is teaching. He's speaking to a farming economy, but he's just using a real simple farming illustration just to connect in with the crowd. And so we'll see these three illustrations and now connect it in a bit more. Okay, so John 15, 5 through 8. Can you all read it out loud together? And then I'll chime in. So, I am the vine. So Jesus is saying, again, that he is the vine, he is the tree trunk, if I can use the tangerine tree illustration. We are the branches, and that we bear much fruit as we remain in him. Now, the first thing I want to bring our attention to is verse 7. Can you just go ahead and read that one more time? If you remain in me, I want to say this is real promising, very desirable, great words from Jesus when he was sitting in front of the disciples and he was giving them this illustration. This was really great words for them. Jesus often, when he was teaching, he would say things that would perk up everyone's ear, right? It would just be like, it's just unbelievable that he would say this. He was saying that, listen, you guys as my disciples, you guys as ones who follow me, as you are connected to me, as you continue to be connected to me, you can pray, you can ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is incredible. Or if I could put it like this, he was telling them about bearing fruit. Part of bearing fruit, verse 7, application is about bearing fruit in prayer. And he's saying, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. He was telling them about expectation, to expect that if they're the branch, they're connected into the vine, that they are certainly going to bear fruit. Let me put it like this up on the screen as the point for today. As Christians, we expect that our prayers will be answered or bear fruit. Now, bearing fruit means all sorts of different things. But verse 7, the specific application is about praying prayers, asking whatever we wish, and it will be done for us. As Christians, we expect that our prayers will be answered, that we will bear fruit in this way. I know there's probably some objections to this statement, right? Because even verse 7, we'll go back to it, it does have an if, right? It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So you might say, well, it's possible, Dennis, isn't it, that someone starts, you know, getting away from God's word, start getting away from God's will, and they start praying things that are not in line with God's word and not in line with God's will, and those prayers aren't going to be answered, right? Or you could look at verse 8, and verse 8 says, these people need to show themselves to be his disciples. So you could say, well, if someone gets off track in their walk with God, and they begin to pray prayers that are off track with God, well, those prayers are not going to be answered. And so I want to say about this illustration, though, that Jesus, whenever he was teaching, he would use illustrations to make something simple that was complex. Jesus was saying to them, listen, I want to tell you about the intention. I want to tell you about how I design things. I want to tell you about how my plan is for you as a one who is a follower of Jesus. And he was telling them that as followers of Christ, that they were connected into Jesus, that they were certainly going to bear fruit. And so Jesus was bringing this as an encouragement to them in this way, and so that they can continue on to pray the prayers with the expectation that they're certainly going to receive answers, that they were certainly going to bear fruit. But I wanted to say, you know, this morning, sometimes we could walk around too often and think of the reasons why our prayers aren't going to be answered, the reasons why we're not going to bear fruit. But Jesus was making a point to those disciples that were gathered there that day about an expectation that certainly that they were going to bear fruit. Let me bring it back to my illustration. It's possible that today, right now, there's a disease that's attacking my tree at home right now. And I get home later today and that there's no more fruit on the tree and there's not going to be any tomorrow and the next day. It's possible. But it's not reasonable or helpful for me to walk around today or any day with an expectation that something like that is going to happen. It's reasonable, it's helpful for me to walk around every day today to expect that when I go home today that there's going to be fruit on the tree, to expect that tomorrow there's going to be fruit on the tree, to expect that in the future there's going to be more fruit that comes forth bearing on the tree. And this is what Jesus was trying to say to his disciples. He was trying to bring encouragement to them, to tell them this is the way that he designed things. This was there in his intention for them to move forward with great expectation that there would be answers to prayers. You might also say, but Dennis, there's also other visual illustrations in this passage, right? So let's look at verse 6. Let's read this out loud together again, too. If you do not remain in me, you might say, you know, that's all true and good about, you know, bearing fruit and that Jesus desires for us to bear fruit. But Dennis, I sort of feel like this today. I sort of feel like this as a Christian. Dried up, burnt out. And Jesus had this to say, right? Had this to say about ones that were dried up and burnt out to be thrown into the fire and burnt. But I just want to point out God's heart, the heart of Jesus in this passage and in this sharing with the disciples, and God's heart in all of Scripture. So I'm going to show us one Scripture, but this principle and truth of Scripture is in many different places. And this was God's heart about when we start thinking that we are like this. This is in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Can you all read that out loud together as well? The Lord... listen, this morning you're feeling more like this, I want to tell you that this is not God's will. This is not God's heart. And so Jesus, when he was preaching this sermon, speaking to his disciples, he was not telling that this was not a message of condemnation. Like, hey, you're like this, you're going to get thrown into the fire. Jesus' whole intention in that one passage when he was speaking to his disciples was to train them up, to encourage them to pray, to encourage them to move forward. And so he's really just contrasting this, and he's saying, hey, listen, disciples, listen, VOH, this is not you. And so if this morning that you're saying, well, this is me, and I'm not going to be the one to bear fruit, listen, I just want to proclaim God's truth over your life. I just want this morning to proclaim John 15 over your life, that you are the branch. You are connected to the vine. You will bear fruit. Just like I have an expectation that when I go home today, there's going to be fruit on the tree, that Jesus' desire and intention for you is to bear fruit. And this is a contrast of what he said was his intention for us as his disciples. But you might also say, well, there's also another illustration here. And you might say, well, Dennis, I kind of feel more like this. And you might say, well, okay, you know, I haven't been completely disconnected, or I might not have been disconnected for that long. Yes, I'm bearing some fruit. Yes, there is some life in me. But I honestly, I feel a bit disconnected from God. And you might be here this morning in church. There is some life. You're here in church. But you might feel there is a bit of a disconnect from the vine, from the trunk. Will you continue to bear fruit ongoing? And I just want to again tell you about God's character and God's heart. If we're like this, I want to read you a passage from the book of Romans. This is Paul writing. And he is speaking to about the Jewish people, but the Jewish people are God's people. And as God's people, I want to tell you about God's heart for us. If this morning, this might feel describes you. This is Romans chapter 11. My reference to us is 11 through 24, but we're just going to read a snippet of it this morning just for the sake of time. But the passage is Romans 11, 11 through 24. So just 11 and a bit of 11, a bit of 23. This is God's heart. Would you read it with me? Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Again, this was about the Jewish people, but they're God's people, and we're God's people. This morning, you might be here feeling more like this. Know that God desires to graft you in, to put you back into the tree, to continue to bear fruit, much fruit. That's God's intention for you this morning. I wanted to give us an image of this. And so there was a movie that came out last summer, War Room. How many of you guys are familiar with that movie, War Room? It was written by the Kendrick brothers, and you might be familiar with Fireproof or Courageous, one of their other movies. But this movie, the premise of it was that there was an elderly lady. She was a prayer warrior. She was like that tree, like the tangerine tree, or like John 15. She was bearing much fruit in her prayers and otherwise just bearing a lot of fruit. And in the special features of the DVD of this movie, they interviewed a real-life elderly lady who was a prayer warrior, 91 years old. She was praying. She was bearing much fruit in her prayer. She was bearing much fruit in her life. And she was asked a question about, well, what if a person feels like this? And she gave an answer that I think is really insightful. So would you take a look at this? It's only about a 1-minute clip, but I feel like it's a lot of insight. What do we do when we might feel like this as a Christian, as a follower of Christ? Let's take a look. This is Molly Bruno, 91-year-old prayer warrior.
And how old are you now?
I am actually 91 years old.
Amen.
And every day is a birthday party. I had a good time with your cameraman today.
Yes.
Every day is a birthday party. Every day with Jesus.
What a gift.
You have to expect it. When there is something going on and it looks unbearable, I say, Jesus, I don't know how you're going to figure this one out, but go ahead.
Yeah.
And he does.
Yes,
and
he does.
And he does it in a surprising way.
Yes. If you were to meet someone and they're a believer in Jesus Christ, they've given their lives to Christ, but they say, my prayer life is flat, I don't really know how to pray, what would you tell them?
There's no desire. There's no desire. When we go to him, okay, it's not a ritual, okay? And they feel cold and indifferent. they can't pray. It's because they've gone away from that first love, and it's not real to them.
Yes.
But I have the answer for them. If they would seek the Lord from their heart, meaning just saying, I can't take it like this no more. I want you, Lord. I desire. He'll answer their prayer.
I want to pray with us at the end of this time for some of us that feel more like this, feeling disconnected from God maybe. Know that this is not God's heart. That's not the reason why he said what he said in John chapter 15. And he said that we would just pray a simple prayer. Like, I can't have it like this anymore. Jesus, I desire you. Would you begin to work in my heart and move in my heart? As we close, I wanted to share just a personal story with you, just kind of my journey a little bit just recently. And I think I wanted to share this with you because I think a lot of you will relate to me. Not to the details of my story, but just to the experience and the feeling of it. This past Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we were supposed to be off on vacation, just taking a break, you know, after Easter and everything, the craziness of it all. Evangeline is on spring break. She's in seminary, so she was on spring break this past week, so that would have been a good time for us. But it turned out that the kids got extremely sick. Like I kind of mentioned that yesterday earlier in the message. And so we just stayed home, you know, and it was like, you know, there was no vacation, and we're just helping the kids get better, but we're just all getting sick then, you know, eventually getting sick, I'm getting sick. And of course, we're praying the whole time, you know, and it turned out that we had a couple of sleepless nights, you know, because the kids waking up and you know, throwing up and this and that and everything else. And so we're praying, and we're praying obviously to get some rest, to be able to sleep, to that the kids would get better. And although there's, you know, they're getting a little bit better, but you know, it didn't happen, you know, Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. And sometimes, you know, there's prayers that we pray, right? As Christians, we say we are connected to Jesus. We pray the prayers and it's not exactly coming to pass, or the answers, or what we hope for. And I just want to say this morning about, you know, I'm just going to go back to the illustration of that tree. And it's like the tree that I have in my backyard. At a couple years ago, well, when we first moved in the house, you know, there's lots of fruit. And then a couple years ago, for 3-4 months or something, there wasn't any fruit at all. And I was thinking, you know, I don't know much about farming, but I just know that there wasn't any fruit. And there was, you know, maybe it was because we had trimmed the branches a little bit, or maybe it was seasonal and there's a cycle to tangerine trees, et cetera, that I didn't know. But I didn't have to know all of that, right? I just knew that, you know, this tree is healthy, the branches are connected in, it's going to bear fruit in the future. It will bear fruit. And so I can not know all of the things that are in between, but just know that there will be fruit. I have the expectation that there will be fruit. Maybe not today, maybe not in this season, but there will be. And I feel like that's God's word to us this morning about this image of this tangerine tree or the vine and the branches, that we have the expectation that it will, but we don't need to know the in-between stuff. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord. And that might be a good word for some of us this morning, that the secret things belong to the Lord. Our part, we're the branches. We need to stay connected to Jesus. We need to stay connected to the vine. One other little story is Robbie Dawkins was at our church a couple of weeks ago, and at the very end, before he left, he prayed with me and Pastor Kwan up in the Harvest building in a room, and he prayed this prayer. It was like a 30-second prayer. He just prayed. He said, I think that there was an announcement earlier about a building campaign, and I just pray you bless this church through that building campaign. And I don't remember the number that was said, but I pray for $8 million in Jesus' name. Amen. Short prayer, 30 seconds. We had never talked about the building campaign, me and him or Pastor Kwan. The only thing that he saw was the announcement that we had on the Sunday service. But to me, that prayer spoke volumes to me of everything that he taught us the whole weekend. Because he had been teaching us about expectation. He had been teaching us about how we as Christians have more authority than we know or we experience. And this morning, I want to say that to us, that when we begin to pray prayers, we pray the prayers with expectation. Our part is simply to stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to him. The rest of it, we leave it up to him. That the secret things belong to the Lord. But that we pray the prayers with expectation. And that's what I want to lead us in as we close out this service. So would you bow your heads? close your eyes, and let's pray some prayers with expectation. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come up, the worship team, if you could come up. I'm going to just hand the mic over to Angela to share something that the prayer team had received this morning, and then we're going to begin to pray.